SBS Radio.
A government-led Senate committee has called for clarification to decide how much money is put on cashless welfare cards. Serious allegations that remote artists are being forced to paint to pay off their debts have been described as a modern-day slavery. And traditional owners in Central Australia celebrate return of land and artefacts. This is NITV Radio News and my name is Šárka Pechová. A government-led Senate committee has called for clarification on the Social Services Minister's powers to decide how much money is put on cashless welfare cards for the Northern Territory residents. The Senate Community Affairs Committee has released its report on the government's bill proposing to extend the cashless welfare card rollout in the Northern Territory and Queensland's Cape York area. A section of the bill, only regarding the Northern Territory, has raised concerns as the wording gives the minister broad powers to decide how much welfare is guaranteed. The committee says the Department of Social Services needs to clarify what the minister's powers are prior to passing of the bill. Labour and Australian Greens senators are opposing the bill and say there is no proof the cards are reducing harmful alcohol and substance abuse. Serious allegations that remote artists are being forced to paint to pay off their debts have been described as a modern-day slavery. Following a report in The Guardian, NITV has also obtained a letter from several APY Art Centre artists calling for the federal and South Australian governments to conduct a full investigation. They allege that at least three artists were taken from their remote communities by a private dealer and forced to pay off their debts by producing new paintings. Commonly referred to as carpet bagging, the practice sees generally non-Indigenous men targeting vulnerable Indigenous artists and often includes the use of intimidation tactics to force the artist to paint for little or no remuneration. The authors of the letter are calling for stronger protections for Indigenous artists and reminding the consumers to be extra vigilant. Senior curator of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander collections and exhibitions at the Museum of Contemporary Art Australia told NITV that the consumers also need to be aware.
Don't buy from a petrol station or someone that's sort of on the street. Actually, find out where those community art centres are. Go and attend the art centre, speak to the staff, speak to the arts workers, and then you can actually buy directly from those community people themselves.
The Aboriginal Legal Services says it is likely the number of young people strip searched by New South Wales Police is considerably more than what's been reported. Data released by the Redfern Legal Centre revealed more than 100 girls were strip searched in the state in the last 3 years. It found 10% of female strip searched were Indigenous, however it is unclear how many of those were under 18. Aboriginal Legal Service CEO Carly Warner says the anecdotal evidence suggests the numbers are even higher, she told NITV.
We've heard stories of people being forced to remove their clothes in public. We saw that story of an elder who was strip searched in Glebe. We say that the actual true number of strip searches that are happening, especially within communities across New South Wales, is vastly underrepresented in these figures.
A 20-year-old man has died after falling 10 metres while trying to escape the custody. Corrective Services New South Wales said the man from Carrion Correctional Centre was being transported from Gosford Hospital on Tuesday night when he broke free from two prison guards. He then jumped over a 1.5-metre high wall, but there was a 10-metre drop on the other side. The man was airlifted to Royal North Shore Hospital in a critical condition, but subsequently declared dead. Sydney Council will vote next week on a proposal to scrap its Australia Day celebrations on January 26. The Inner West Council will continue to hold citizenship ceremonies on the public holiday, but it will move its other festivities to another date. Traditional owners in Central Australia have celebrated having property and artefacts returned to them. A portion of a cattle station was handed over to an Aboriginal land trust, and artefacts are also back in locals' hands after spending roughly 100 years in American museums. Nigel Morton, a traditional owner, has told ABC.
It means so much to me and very exciting, and
overjoyed because it's been a long fight, not only for me, but for my elders past.
Environment ministers are being urged to support a national plan to address growing extinction rates among native Australian species. Federal Environment Minister Susan Lee meets her state and territory counterparts today, with the group expected to sign the Strategy for Nature 2018 to 2030 plan. The government's proposal outlines priorities, spending and actions necessary to protect native species. Susan Murthrop from the Wilderness Society has welcomed the plan. She says Australia's spiraling extinction rate can be fixed if all levels of government work together on a clear conservation strategy. Seven areas, which are the combined equivalent of the size of South Australia, are being added to the Indigenous Protected Areas Scheme. Patrick O'Leary of the Pew Charitable Trust welcomes the decision.
It's something really major for Australia and actually on an international scale. So there's 16 million hectares of Indigenous protected areas will go into a planning phase now. That includes large areas in the Central Australian Desert. It includes tropical areas like the Arafura Swamp, the home of the Tin Canoes movie, as far as also Cape York. So a number of different landscapes from wet tropical rainforests to Spinifex Desert.
Mr. O'Leary says that through the Protected Areas Scheme, traditional owners decide independently to contribute some of their lands or sea to Australia's protected area network. It is expected that the expansion of the scheme will generate new jobs for Aboriginal people across Queensland, the Northern Territory and South Australia. The Victorian government is phasing out logging in native forests over the next decade to better protect the environment and its history. The state hopes the move will reduce carbon in the atmosphere, help threatened species and protect 90,000 hectares of old-growth forests immediately. Premier Danielle Andrews says the government will support logging industry workers whose jobs will be affected and plantation timber will be processed instead.
It doesn't belong to any one mill, it doesn't belong to any one business. It belongs to all of us and it should be preserved, and that's what this decision does.
Indigenous Ranger Albert Wigan has been named Australian Geographic Society's Conservationist of the Year in recognition of his work to protect WA's Kimberley region. The 33-year-old Bardi Gija Niul Niulman is well known for his role in the Save the Kimberley campaign. Mr. Wigan said First Nations people hold the key for environmental sustainability and believe it's time for Indigenous knowledge to be recognised. Farmers have raised concerns the federal government's announcements of a drought stimulus package is too little too late. The multi-million dollar package is offering interest-free loans for businesses and farmers struggling with the dry conditions. There are also plans to release 100 gigalitres of water along the Murray River for producers to access at discounted rates to grow further. But Wilcannia farmer Wayne Smith says the government should have acted sooner.
I'm not sure that there's that many dairies left in along the Murray. They've had a very, very high water prices and it's forcing a lot of them out. But hopefully it's not too late, we can save a few. It's probably a little bit late for a lot of fodder to be grown this year. I guess 6 weeks ago they could have finished off a lot more crops and hay and things that could have helped out.
Camilla Royman, Indigenous mentor and fundraiser, Corey Titt, was named the 2020 New South Wales Young Australian of the Year. Mr. Titt is promoting Indigenous education and encouraging kids into science careers. Whilst continuing his work as a university research assistant, Corey Titt has collected resources and fundraised, aiming to inspire Indigenous children. Mr. Titt told NITV Radio about his project Deadly Science.
Deadly Science is basically a program I created to empower Indigenous kids by providing resources and mentoring to over 97 schools now around Australia. And basically we are providing STEM, stuff that really challenges the imagination so kids can find the magic of science.
Corey Todd has distributed more than 4,000 books and 70 telescopes through the initiative since 2018. The award comes as a recognition of his work for the community.
This award means a representation for the Melbourne community that I get to work with and all the people I meet. And it's really, you know, although it says my name on the trophy and the award, it's really a representation of all the communities that are behind Deadly Science and that work together to provide STEM resources to Indigenous kids in the outback, remote and regional areas.
The 2020 Western Australia Young Australian of the Year is Yara Lu Thomas, a medical student and Precision Public Health Fellow in Genetic and Rare Diseases. Yarlalu Thomas is a Nyangu Marta Pichikali man originally from Warralong. The first in his community to complete a high school certificate, he enrolled in a Bachelor of Medical Science and Doctor of Medicine. The 21-year-old now works with WA Register of Developmental Anomalies, Genetic Services WA, and Cliniface to transform genetic healthcare services for remote Indigenous people. Mr. Thomas combines the newest scientific and medical knowledge with old and ancient wisdom. Mr. Thomas also mentors and tutors Aboriginal boarding students, helping them to adjust to their new lifestyle. To sports now. In the AFL, some Indigenous players are waiting up whether to walk off the field in response to racism in the sport. More than 70 Indigenous players are part of the AFL and may have been debating how to handle racism at games. Former Sydney Swans star Adam Goodis was booed up until the end of his career, and he's the subject of the film The Final Quarter. Jan Darling, who produced the documentary, says some options include sitting down on the field or threatening to leave the ground. In rugby union, South Africa's World Cup winning team has begun its nationwide five-day tour to take the trophy to the people. The Springboks beat England in Saturday's final in Japan 32-12 to take their third World Cup title. The victory under the team's first black captain, Siya Kolisi, is being hailed by supporters as much-needed moral boost and source of hope for the country.
Oh my man, this was so awesome. It's a first-in-a-lifetime experience. I feel like crying, actually.
And once again,
you know, this is South Africa. We are coming together, slowly but surely. Guys, let's do it!
The tour will include a visit to Nelson Mandela's Old Street, as well as to the Zwai Township in Eastern Cape Province, where Siya Kolisi grew up. Let's have a look at the weather. Broome today will be sunny with a tops of 41. Perth, sunny, tops of 35 degrees. Adelaide, morning shower or two and a tops of 18. Melbourne, showers with local hail and thunder, tops of 14. Hobart, showers increasing and tops also of 14 degrees. Canberra, a shower or two, becoming windy, tops of 18. Sydney will be also becoming windy, mostly sunny though, and tops of 28. Brisbane will be hot, windy and sunny, with the tops of 37. Townsville, sunny with the tops of 32. Cairns, mostly sunny with the tops of 31. Darwin will be partly cloudy with the tops of 35 degrees. And Alice Springs, sunny with the tops of 34 degrees. Total fire bans remain in place for parts of New South Wales, with strong westerly winds expected to fan bushfires burning across the state's mid-north coast. Watch and act alerts remain in place for Foster's, Stockyard Flat and Roomba Dump in the Tappin Tops National Park. Total fire bans are in place for the north coast, far north coast, northern slopes, New England and the Greater Hunter region. Extreme fire warnings have been issued for Queensland as firefighters prepare for a day of hot, dry and windy conditions. More than 30 fires currently burn across the state, with the fire danger to peak in the Darling Downs and Granite Belt this afternoon as temperatures soar towards 40 degrees Celsius. Fire warnings have also been issued for Maranoa, Warrego, the Central Highlands and Coalfields, White Bay, Burnett and South East Coast. Residents are being urged to stay on alert, and while conditions are predicted to ease over the weekend, a fire warning will remain in place, so stay safe.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.